Okay. Hey, everybody. How is everybody doing today? I am getting a little situated here because I'm at my parents' house and I don't want to have to show y'all their whole good morning, Rhapsody. Let me get the chat up. Hello, Sam. I am great. I'm so good. Oh, it's such a beautiful day here, y'all. Fall is coming. Let me move, like, the pair of pants. Hanging. Just trying to find just kind of a decent background here since I'm not in my normal place. I think that'll be good. Okay. All right. Lighting is good, though, so. All right. Just got to get situated. So how's everybody doing? Is it pretty where y'all are? I'm just so excited. The fall is coming. And let me change my name here. Just so y'all know who I am. I am Coach Betsy. I'm usually here with y'all most Saturdays at noon, but I'm visiting with my parents this weekend. So I'm doing the call from their house. So we've already got a few people with their hands raised, so I'm just going to get started here. And y'all can always put questions in the Q&A box. I would love for y'all to just come on camera with me. But if you are new or if you just have a quick question, put it in the Q&A box and I will answer those. Let's say it looks like it's beautiful in Northern California. It's beautiful in Delaware. It's beautiful in Seattle, in Chi-Town, Carmel, California, Germantown, Wisconsin. It's just so amazing. Ohio, Indiana, Utah. I mean, y'all, it'd be awesome to see how many states and even countries we have represented, right? Several of y'all from California. So, all right. So I'm Coach Betsy. I have been with PNP forever. I've lost 70 pounds. I'm a coach. What else do y'all need to know? So, ask me more questions. I would love to just have y'all question, have y'all ask questions, you know, about me, about my weight loss journey. I love to talk about myself. So maybe I get that from Corinne working with her, for so long, but, yeah. So if y'all have any questions about that, and so we're just going to get to coaching. So our first few folks we have are Alexis, Christy, and Robin. So Alexis, let's get you on and get going. Okay. Hello.
Hello. Can you see me?
No, let me ask you to start your video and then you should be able to do it. I'm on like a swivel chair on my computer, so it's kind of moving. Okay.
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on?
So I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited because I've been wanting to come on a coaching call for a little while.
Good.
Just a little background. I started in April and I've lost 15 pounds since. And mentally I've lost way more than that. That's for sure. And I went on a coaching call in April, actually end of April with Corinne. And the question was stop binging or lose weight. And so the answer was binging. And I've worked on that a lot and I want to say I've pretty much conquered that, at this point. So I'm noticing, and this is not new, but, I've been avoiding feelings with food for a very long time.
Right.
And the thing that really kind of set me off this past week, is my husband and I found out we're going to be moving to Connecticut. We currently live in California. So, and we've moved about 3 times in the last 4 years, for his job. So, in the past, which is when I've gained my weight, is eating through all of the emotions that come with this. And I'm very excited about it, but I think the big thing for me right now is I want to make this move better than the last. And so, I guess what I want to kind of talk about is managing those urges without food, or managing the emotional aspect of it without food.
So you say you're excited. So why are you excited about moving?
Well, it's going to be closer to my family. Mm-hmm. My family lives in Pennsylvania, so I'm so excited about moving back towards them. That's a big, big one. Getting back into the snow. Believe it or not, I love snow. It's like 100 and some degrees most of the time out here in Fresno. So I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for a new environment, a new experience. So.
Okay, so what's the problem?
That's a good question, right? My husband asked me the same thing.
Yeah. Or are you looking for a problem, right? That's not, that may not even be there.
Yeah, that's probably true. I guess I just, and this is a thought, but I feel out of control most of the time.
Okay, so that's where we're getting to. Yeah. So let's, you know, you're excited. I mean, you can have a lot of different feelings, right, about this move. So, but let's, I mean, one is out of control. So, and that's probably from your past experience, right? So why do you feel out of control when you're moving? Or when you know you're about to move?
I feel out of control because I feel like I don't have control over where we're moving. I'm worried. And again, like you said, it's like the past. So the past, we haven't always had the house that I would have loved to have, or the job is really like stressful for me. It's kind of a out of control thing. I mean, the thing is, I feel I am in control of these things, but I'm telling myself I'm out of control, I guess.
Yeah, you're like fighting for your, you know, for your pain. Like, wait a minute, I've done this before. We're supposed to be out of control right now, right? I mean, this is, and it's like, what if you can just be excited? And I mean, this is like the decision is made, right?
Right. And, yeah.
You know, it's like the decision is made. This is what's best for us. And I don't have to go through all that stuff that I went through before.
Yeah.
And I can just be excited and just keep coming up with all the different reasons that I'm excited and just do it differently this time.
And that's what I really, really want to do. That's what I want to focus on doing. And so when I might have, you know, those thoughts of like, oh, I'm out of control. I don't have control of this or that. What would your suggestion be? Because like I said, a lot of times I like to avoid that thought.
Right. Well, it's just, I mean,
avoid
it's not,
those emotions.
Yeah. I mean, and right now you're right where you need to be with just awareness. You know that those thoughts are going to pop up because that's what you're used to doing the last, you know, three or four moves that you had. And so it's just a matter of hearing those thoughts come in and say, no, we're totally in control here. We're, you know, we're fine. We're even excited. And let me remind myself all the reasons I'm excited. And you just, you know, redirect, right? You just set that thought aside. And I was listening to a podcast with Corinne and Kathy this morning. It was the one about urges. I guess it just came out maybe yesterday. And Kathy was saying, she was talking about urges, and she was saying that I just like to think of them like just as a reminder, you know, or like, no, not a reminder, a suggestion. Like a suggestion of, oh, maybe you could eat this. And then Corinne said, no, that sounds like you, Kathy. And she said, no, I like to just say, that's the shit my brain likes to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's something like that. It's coming up with what works for you and just say, okay, that's just stuff like my brain wants to go to. But, you know, noted, you know, you can say just, okay, thank you, brain, for reminding me of what we used to do, but we're doing something different this time.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Well, it just really struck me when you said that I might be looking for something that I'm not in control of.
Because every time you say out of control, every time you think out of control, your brain is like a computer and it just starts looking for, okay, how are things out of control? But when you say you're excited, when you say you're in control, when you say, you know, whatever feeling you want, and I mean, and that's what the powerful question of the day is all about. It's like, okay, how can I be excited about our move today? How can I feel in control about our move today? And that gets your brain working on coming up with those reasons. But also you can just, you know, make a list, right? You can just make a list of all the ways that you are in control and, you know, keep that list with you or put it on your phone or whatever it is. So when you see those old thoughts will come. So it's a matter of not, you know, freaking out or, you know, attaching to them when they come, because that's the habit that you've gotten into. But then it's just retraining your brain saying, oh no, you know, that's just what you want to think. But this time we're in control and we're excited.
Okay. And it kind of, it, with the future self, that's kind of what's coming to mind too. And more than ever, I'm working towards that. And the future self is excited about this move. And so for me, I think that will be helpful too, is, you know, the future self is excited. The future self is looking forward to a new job, looking forward to being closer to family. And, you're right. Just reminding that.
Yes. And I mean, you know, and so much of the future self work is about living in your future self right now, right? Practicing that. And so that's what you're doing. It's like, I'm practicing being excited, being, you know, in control and thinking about all the new opportunities and things like that. So right on track for sure.
Okay. Yeah. It seems so easy, like after I'm talking to you about it, but like, I just needed that to kind of sort through.
Yeah. It can be that easy if, you know, with practice, right? It's just like, you know, and you can always go back and listen to this again and just remind yourself about how easy it can be. But it's just whenever you find yourself, you know, hearing one of those thoughts and making it hard, that's when you know that you're, you know, or going back to this place where, you know, you're feeling out of control. It's like, okay, I need to revisit my list that I made. I need to listen to our call again or whatever it is, just to get you back in that new frame of mind. So,
Okay. I'm going to make my list after this call then.
Love it. And if you want to, you know, post it in Ask Coaches or post it in Facebook group, tag me. I would love to see it and, you know, give you any feedback on it. Any suggestions?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Betsy. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. I don't know why the names kind of move around a little bit, but Robin, you're next. And then Christy, I know you were third, I think. No, Christy, you were second. Okay. I'm going to get you on here, Christy. And then, yeah, it's like now you're down list a little bit. So I'm going to get you up here. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. What's going on?
Okay. So... since July, I have not been doing as well as I had before. I've been having a lot more, off plan, off protocol and overeats. I have not gotten good with sitting in the discomfort of the urge. I haven't quite gotten that down.
Have you been practicing? I mean, you know, you don't have to be good, right? If you're just still practicing.
Yeah. I mean, there are times like it's way better now than it was in July. I mean, July, like an every other day binge, basically. Okay. So, I mean, I have gotten a handle to some extent on it, but I'm still not back to where I was pre-July. I'm still either simply maintaining or going up in weight instead of losing. I want to get back to losing because I'm happy where I am. Like, my life is completely different, but I still want to, you know, my goal is still 160. So,
but here's the deal. You keep saying I'm happy where I am. And it's, well, keep saying until you say that I'm not happy where, I mean, you know, until you say I'm really committed to this goal. I just think that in your mind, that's why you probably haven't gotten as good at the urges, because you still have kind of this thought floating around like, well, but I'm happy where I am.
Well, I mean, okay. I guess saying I'm happy where I am isn't, I'm just not miserable like I used to be. Does that make sense?
But like, that's good enough for your brain to not have to work on urges very much, right? I mean, you've got to, if you want to lose more weight, that has got to be like full on commitment mm-hmm. for your brain to really get going on. I mean, you know, when it's like, well, should we eat or just allow this urge? Well, if there's, I mean, if it's like, you know, like a court case where it's like, you know, reasonable doubt kind of thing or whatever. Like if there's like 1% in there of like, well, we're okay where we are. Your brain is going to eat most of the time. It's always looking for like if to tip the scale to eat. It's going to eat most of the time. And so you've got to have it to where, no, I am wanting to, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, I'm not happy where I am. You don't want to remind yourself of, you know, you don't want to say that, but you want to say like, this is what I really want. And I'm really committed to 160.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you got to make a full on commitment to 160 or your brain is just going to go back to eating every time.
I guess I don't know how to find that medium of I'm either miserable and hate myself or, you know what I mean? I guess I don't know where that medium is, where I can be, you know, not miserable and self-loathing, but still miserable enough, I guess, to want to.
No, that's the thing is that you don't have to be miserable and you don't want to be miserable to want to lose more weight.
Okay.
You want to practice loving yourself and being happy where you are right now, but also it's all about that abundance mindset, right? Where it's like, okay, I love myself right now, but I want more. I want to get to that 160. And so that, I mean, it's like our brain thinks the opposite. It thinks, oh no, wait, we need to hate ourselves now so that we can lose more weight.
Yeah.
No, that's like a total thought error. It's like, no, it makes it easier if we love ourselves now, but we are still so laser focused on that 160. And that's where your compelling reason comes in, where it's like, why do you want to get to 160?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking you though, why do you want to get to 160?
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'll feel even better. Like, I feel so much better now, but I mean, I'll feel even, like, I can't even imagine how much better I'm going to feel at goal weight.
You've got to imagine it, and you've got to get it into words, because, again, you're like, well, I feel great now, but it's like, it's not tangible enough, right?
Yeah.
Just like, I want to feel even better is not tangible enough. Like, I want some specifics. Like, what is going to be so much better now specifically at 160 than it is now?
I'll never have to shop in a plus size section again, ever. I will be able to run better and faster. My joints will feel better. The arthritis that's already in my knee will not progress near as fast. And I may not need a knee replacement at some point if I get all of the weight off.
Okay, so I want you to go back and listen to all that stuff, and I want you to put it in positive stuff. Like,
okay.
I will be able to shop in, you know, regular stores.
I gotcha.
I will, you know, like not, you know, you won't have this or that. But
I gotcha. I got. Okay. And I thought there for a while that some of it was, well, and I think this was some, I had completely lost touch with my future self, like completely lost touch. And so I spent the week prior to camp journaling every day on her. And then the meditation at the end of camp, like that was fucking huge. You know, like I literally, it sounds weird to say this, and I'm not a woo-woo kind of person, but I feel like I met my future self during that meditation. Like it was crazy.
Yeah.
In a good way, the crazy, crazy good, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's some of it, but I think I've lost that laser focus on that 160 goal. Okay.
Right. So it's all connected, right? It's like compelling reason is all about your future self. And for you, I think it's like just getting super specific about who your future self is. 160. And we know that like, that's a arbitrary number, right? We know that.
Right. Right.
That's your number you've chosen.
but like 160, and she, you know, she's able to run this far and this without pain. She, you know, the knee replacement is not necessary anymore. You know, all this stuff, you're shopping in all the stores. I mean, even like talk about specific stores and just get at, like, I mean, and this is what she does every day. This is her daily routine, and just, okay, just embody her. And yeah. And so it's just like, That's when you start to embody your future self now, like I was talking with Alexis, where it's like you've got to practice being her now, and you don't even, when you get an urge, it's like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because this is where we are, and this, you know, this is what we're practicing now and what we're moving towards. You're totally focused on your future self.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that goal. I think, cause, and you're right. It's been the laser focus I think what really threw me off was, you know, Jeff going to India and all that. And I lost my footing, and I've been working to get it back since then. And it's that laser focus. So the laser on the goal, all those positive, compelling reasons in detail, the detail of the yourself. Which I haven't gotten that detailed yet. Yes. So, okay.
And then there's the really good worksheet. I mean, you know, there's of course all the future self stuff, but even just that commitment worksheet that is part of the orientation, OBS orientation, go back and print out a shiny new copy and just reaffirm your commitment. Okay. And, you know, get real specific. That I think that worksheet is just really good for all of us to fill out, you know, periodically, right? It's just like, we've got to remind ourselves of our commitment. Yeah. And so, so do that. And then of course, all the future self stuff, but getting, you know, real specific, you know, we did that letter at camp, and you could go back to that and get real specific. It's just like time to start. Cause I just think about me where, I mean, I've been there where it's like, well, I'm pretty good where I am. And it's just like, that thought is going to win out every time.
That is like danger thought.
Yeah. I mean, we think it's innocent, right? So we think, well, we feel good about ourselves right now. But yeah, if we want to be at a different place, that thought doesn't help us.
But again,
the answer is not, you know, saying we don't want to be there or we hate ourselves, but we just want to be more. We just want to be like this next level. We want to be Christy 2.0. We want to be, who's your future self? You have that awesome name.
Tenacious C.
Tenacious C. We want to be Tenacious C.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Fabulous.
All right. Fabulous. Posted on everything.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Bye.
Well, that's a good sign when I get a few claps at the end. All right. Robin, Amy Lynn, and Virginia. Robin. Robin with a Y. Okay, let me unmute.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'll ask you to start your video. There you are. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? We coached just a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
We did. I don't have a scarf on my head this time.
Your hair looks pretty, so.
Thank you.
I love that painting back there, too.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about, it's a combination between my compelling reason and my future self.
Okay.
I feel like I don't know how to say it, so I'm just going to say it how it is in my mind. That I'm using it against myself.
Hmm.
So my compelling reason is that I want to be more confident and strong, and to show up in like my work is more professional. And the way that it's working against me is that I have this blockage where it's like, I can't be that now because that's my future self. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hindering me in my new job because I'm fighting against. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're kind of using future self as like, well, I'm not there yet, so I don't need to do what it takes to be that person yet.
No, it's more the opposite. It's more that I can't, like, I see the strong, capable person as somebody in the future when I need her to be available to me now in order for me to be strong and capable and successful today. Does that
what do you think it means for her to be available to you? What does that mean to you? Do you think she's just going to appear?
I feel like I'm under the impression that she won't be available until I hit a certain weight. Yeah. Like once I drop like 30 pounds or 40 pounds, then she will magically appear.
Okay. So first of all, she's never going to magically appear, right? You have to work towards her. And that is, you know, part of the work that we teach here is in terms of your, you know, your thoughts. You're talking, you said confident. What was another feeling?
Strong.
Capable. Right?
Confident.
Those are all feelings that come from your thoughts. And so the whole deal with future self is that you work towards her by working on your thoughts around yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's like, it's not, you know, thinking she's just going to appear when this number on a piece of metal, right, pops up, right? Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works, right? You have to work towards her in practicing your thoughts now, because again, when you look down and see, so what is your goal? What is your goal weight, or what's the weight that you're waiting for right now?
150.
Okay. So I want you to tell me what you think. Like, so let's, you get up, you go poop or whatever, you go to the bathroom, you know, you step on that scale, whatever your routine is, and you see 150. What do you think is going to happen?
Rainbows. No, I'm kidding.
Rainbows are going to come out of your, you know, come out of the toilet, right? That's why I asked that, right?
Yeah.
We got to get real with ourselves.
Yeah.
And really question these thoughts that we're having that some sort, I mean, I think, you know, consciously, we're not thinking rainbows are going to shoot out of our rear end on that day, but we're thinking something magical is going to happen when we look down and see that 150 number.
Yeah, and I think is that validation. Like, people will see me because now I am worth seeing. You know, like that. I think that's the magic that I think will happen, is that finally I will be validated. Finally, I will be seen and worthy of being someone that should be taken seriously.
So what do you think that validation is going to look like? Like, you got all these rainbows and things, you know, you're glittering, right? When that's 150, I mean, I'm picturing you like, you know, walking into the office and everyone just, you know, starts complimenting you, you know, and it's like, no, right? That's not.
You're really kind of breaking up.
Oh, okay. Oops. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. But you know, it's, we have this story that we're going to walk into the office or whatever it is at 150. And then all of a sudden we're going to get all this validation. Oh, it says my internet is unstable. Okay. I'm just going to keep talking.
Okay. Keep talking.
I'll keep talking and you can listen to the replay if you miss something. So yeah, we just think
it's
really depending on people, you know, outside of you for this validation when you've got to start practicing giving it to yourself. Right. Because we don't want to depend on anyone else.
Yeah. That's very apparent now that I've said it out loud. That I am waiting for other people to tell me that I'm worthy.
Right. Right. And that's not the way it works, right? Worthy is a feeling, and that comes from our thoughts. you know? And I mean, somebody mm-hmm. may say something to us and that's great, but we always have a thought about it afterwards, right? Somebody saying something to you, you look great. Oh, you've lost weight. You've done so well. That's just a circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have a thought about it, but we can think those thoughts no matter what is going on, no matter whether people say things or not. And here's the deal is that, you know, having been through it myself, yeah, you get some comments at first, right? But then, you know, they don't continue and you don't want to have to depend on those comments to keep losing weight, much less to keep it off long term, because people are not going to be.
I think your internet connection is getting worse.
Not good, y'all. Oh, shoot.
And okay. Now you're freezing.
All right. Oh, shoot. Okay. Hold on a minute. Okay. Let me do something here. Okay. I paused that. Maybe that will be better. Can you hear me now? Oh, now she's frozen. Okay. Here we are.
Are you back?
Hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Someone said there's a glitch in the matrix. That's weird because everybody came back and the chat is still there and everything. So I'm hoping that maybe that was just a one-time thing. Okay. So, so it's just like, we want to be able to just give ourselves that validation and feel worthy whenever we want. And mm-hmm. so I want you to do some journaling and think about, you know, okay, what do I need to think about myself to feel worthy whenever I want? Yeah,
exactly. Like, do it in the here and now, not
in the here and now, right? Because you don't want to depend on that. You know, the number on the scale is just another circumstance, right? You can absolutely see, you know, see that number on the scale and any number on the scale and decide that, hey, this is where I am today and I love myself and I'm worthy. And just, you can decide to feel worthy whenever you want, right? You don't want to wait until you get to, you know, you don't want to wait to feel worthy. Right? You want to do it now and practice it now.
Yeah.
And so, so it's just a matter of kind of proving that to yourself through your thought work and through practice. So, are you there?
Yeah. No, this has been very, very helpful. It gave me an awareness that I didn't have before. So I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I will talk to you later then.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Well, I hope we are okay with our connection. I guess if all else fails, I could get on my phone with y'all. So, okay. We still got people with their hands raised. So I'm hoping that was just a little glitch, y'all. All right, Amy, you are up next, and then Letty, and then Virginia. Oh, Letty's back. Okay, hopefully maybe your signal will be a little bit better today. Okay. Are you there? Amy, hello?
Okay.
Hi.
Hello. Yes. So I joined like September of last year. And I've had a couple of coaching calls before, but they've always been about like future self. And this time it was like, I'm actually calling about data, which I think is a little weird for me. I know, okay. Right?
Yeah.
I might be doing some data and some modeling today. Who knows? But so I was looking at like my weight, cause my weight has kind of been, kind of steadily going up through like the month of September and then now into October. And I just can't figure out. I mean, I know one of the actions that I'm doing is like grab assing and like eating off plan, things like that. But I'm not really sure if there's like a thought in there that's like causing it. Cause I feel like up until now I've been pretty steady with everything. Like, yeah, I've had off plan eats and I've done recovery worksheets and I've had things go back and forth, but I've never had something where like in the month of September I gained 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. And up until then, like I had at least lost a pound every month on my journey. A couple of other things. So I went to camp last week, which was absolutely amazing. But in the middle of September, like September 15th, I had a gallstone attack. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they told me I had to have my gallbladder removed. So I had my gallbladder removed like September 30th. And so now I don't know if like my weight's going up because of that event. And like, it just like my body needs to heal and recover and come back down. Or if it's because like I'm all up in my head about stuff and I'm just eating like a crazy person.
Well, I mean, looking back at your data, are you overeating more? Did you overeat more in September than you had in the past?
You know, and I think I did. I think there was a little bit of like not really getting my, I don't necessarily think it's a problem on the plus two side. Cause I don't think that number one, I don't like that feeling of like, oh, like fullness anymore. Like I don't like to feel full. Like right now from breakfast, I feel a little more full than I appreciate, mm-hmm. you know? But I think it's more the negative two side. Cause like, you know, I'm a school teacher. I went back to work. You have to eat at certain times of the day because that's when you have the time available to. So I think there might've been more of the, like, not quite waiting until I'm hungry to eat. Yeah. I think there may have been a little bit more of like, you know, at the end of the workday, kind of doing that like 3 o'clock, you know, just being tired and wanting a break and coming home. And like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I come home and I'm ravenous, mm. you know? So I'll like have a snack before I make myself dinner. And I don't necessarily think I need a snack, but I think that like my body is telling me that it needs something to calm down. Mm. You know, cause like I have noticed in the past before that, like I used to equate anxiety with like low blood sugar. So I always felt like I needed to eat something when I was feeling anxious. And then, you know, when I started really looking at it, I was like, well, no, I'm not actually like, I don't have diabetes. I don't have like low blood sugar problems. You know, I just get anxious and then I want to eat something. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're totally onto yourself. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm like, there's nothing confusing here. There's nothing to figure out here. You overate in September. That's okay. Why you didn't lose any weight. And I wouldn't even address the surgery. Like, I mean, okay. You know, maybe there's a little bit there, but that's over and done with. You're healing, you know, it's just like, okay, it's time to just, I mean, there's nothing to be done about that anyway. Right. And so what there is to do is to figure out, you know, is to work on these, you know, these overeats.
Okay.
And yeah. I mean, you know, it's just sounds like, so, I mean, let's kind of get specific with those. You know, you're recognizing the kind of associating anxiety with needing to eat something. And so mm-hmm. it's a matter of there, you know, where you have, when you feel some anxiety and you have an urge, I mean, that's, you know, that's totally normal, mm-hmm. right? What's happening. We don't want to feel the anxiety. Yeah. We want to eat instead. And then if you add on a thought like, oh, well, this is associated with low blood sugar, then I definitely need to eat something. So yeah, it's just totally like, yeah, you're going to want to eat something, but it's a matter of you, okay, I'm going to allow this urge. I know that me associating these two things is just a thought error that I'm having, mm-hmm. and I'm going to prove my brain wrong by just allowing this urge, feeling the anxiety, you know, doing some journaling, whatever. Okay. And, you know, and moving on. And then with the eating at, you know, at school and things like that, it's just a matter of, you know, we have a million calls on that, but it's just like the podcast, you know, Corinne did the teacher's podcast, a month or so ago. So maybe re-listen to that, but mm-hmm. it's just all about kind of adjusting your food and adjusting your schedule to where you're either, you know, good and hungry when it is time for you to eat. And then still just eating to plus two. Or if you're not quite at negative two when it's time to eat, you just stop at plus two, right? And so that may mean you eat a little bit less, but it's just a matter of kind of figuring out those patterns, you know, and those habits for your schedule. And so, but do you have any specific questions about that? Or do you think that that's doable for you?
I think it's doable. Like I remember last year at school, you know, there were times where I like went to my lunch break, but I didn't actually eat anything because I wasn't hungry, mm-hmm. you know, and I just haven't really allowed myself to do that this time. I think mm-hmm. I felt like I have to be eating with everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a thought,
Absolutely.
You know, and but it's so interesting because I really thought that I didn't have a problem anymore. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing so well. I've got all the things, you know, I'm doing all the things.
And I think for you, it's just like recognizing that nothing's gone wrong here, right? Yeah. Like every once in a while, things are just going to come up. And it's, I mean, one of my favorite thoughts is like, okay, well, this is just my next thing to work on. This is, you know, yeah, it was easy for a while and that was great. But then a few little tweaks need to happen here. And so this is just my next thing to work on. And so it's not making that mean anything big, that you just have a few little things that you need to tweak or tighten up.
Right.
And yeah, and just not making it mean, oh, you know, this was just a fluke. I thought it was easy. And now here's where it gets hard and all that kind of stuff. No, it's just, okay, I just need to kind of dial this back in a little bit and then keep moving forward. Because I mean, I know how to do this. I know how to lose weight. But it's just a few things have I've gotten off a little bit, and now it's just time to tighten it back up.
Yeah, I think you're right, because one of the things that I keep writing down for like my action steps for the day is I'm like, will you just focus on your hunger scale? Because I know for me, like that's the thing that has honestly, like I know when we talk about like the four basics, like there's not one that's necessarily better than the others, but I feel like for me, the hunger scale one has been like the one that if I'm not doing that, yeah, then I notice my weight changing a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, and really, yeah, there's all of them are important, right, but if you're still overeating, you know, or if you're, you know, if you just don't have that hunger scale dialed in, then yeah. And especially if you've been, or if it just gets a little bit off track, right? If you've been losing weight for a while and then you just start eating just even a few more bites or whatever it is, and then that habit starts slowly developing, then yeah, you're going to see it, you know, on the scale where it's like, wait a minute, I'm not losing as much as I was before. And of course, over time, you know, the rate of weight loss, you know, varies. Right. And it's not like, I mean, it's not necessarily harder to lose the last amount of weight necessary. I mean, you know, there's no hard and fast rules. And I don't think it's helpful to think about those. I just think it's helpful just to think, okay, this is the time for me to just kind of work on a few things. This is not a big deal. And right, I know how to lose weight, and I have all my data. I'm going to keep collecting data. You know, it's just all of that kind of talk, that kind of language where it's to just not make it a big deal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Well, thank you so
all
much.
All right. Well, this is a good one. This is a good one. I think this will help a lot of people. So, all right. Talk to you later. Okay,
thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. I'm just going to say not a big deal. All right, Letty and Virginia are up next. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm working on something.
Okay. All right.
So your like comment of what I'm doing now is going to be enough really did help. And I've been working on that, but today was the day I was supposed to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not able to, because of visa issues. Mm-hmm. And I am like, I know in my head, this is a wonderful opportunity to learn how to actually feel feelings instead of stuffing them and keeping myself busy and going crazy inside. But I'm not really sure how to start on that.
Okay.
And
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I don't want you to say that this was the day that you were supposed to get married. This mm-hmm. wasn't the day that you were supposed to get married, because you're not getting married today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't think it helps you
about that.
Yeah. I don't think it helps you to keep saying that, because you're fighting with reality, right? Like, I was supposed to get married today and I'm not. No, you just weren't supposed to.
what can I say instead that doesn't make it feel like it's just never even going to happen?
Well, is that true that it's never going to happen?
No.
Right.
But right now we have absolutely no way of actually like setting any date. And so like,
how about like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's going to be amazing and awesome. And we're going to do this and that. I'm going to wear this dress and it's going to happen.
My head is having a hard time believing that.
Well, and I mean, and I'm not saying you're going to believe it right off the top of your head, right? But you can, I think with practice and with time, you can say, okay, it's going to happen. And getting specific than that. And this is how it's going to happen, right? Not this is when, because we just don't know that. But this mm-hmm. is how it's going to happen. And remind yourself of how amazing it's going to be and why you love, is it your husband, your future husband?
Yeah.
Yes. Like why you love your future husband so much and how you're, you know, and visualize how you're going to, I'm about to have my first anniversary in about 10 days from my wedding a year ago. And so I'm really doing mm-hmm. some reflecting right now. And I have chills thinking about it because I think about the day and I think about us looking at each other. And I think about us, you know, doing the rings and being around with all of our family and my pretty dress and how I loved everything about it. And I want you to do that ahead of time, right? I want you to start visualizing like, okay, this is how it's going to be. And it's going to happen. It's, you know, this just every single detail. I mean, as detailed as you want to get. You know, mm-hmm. I think about getting ready with my mom in my room and my godmother and my sister-in-law, and we were just all having so much fun and, you know, just all the little things like that. And that gets you out of where you are now. And I'm not saying that those thoughts aren't going to, you know, to come back in, but it's like when you hear them, you say, no, it's going to happen. And this is how it's going to happen. And right now, maybe
I've been stopping myself from actually looking ahead to it like that because I didn't want to be unrealistic and imagine things that might not necessarily be. Mm-hmm. And so like the date was the one thing that we seemed to actually have pinned down. And so I was like, you know, well, let's just focus on that and it'll, what happens, happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that isn't there.
Yeah. So now it's time to say, okay, so it's going to happen. I mean, we don't even like mention the D word, right? The date word or whatever it is, right? It's like you focus on this part of it, that you do know whenever it happens, this is all the stuff that I have to look forward to. This is all the stuff, all the things and the experiences and the emotions and all that kind of stuff. And that is what you can hold on to. That is what you can remind yourself of until it happens. Whenever that is. Like, the date doesn't even matter. Because it's going to be so amazing when it happens that...
There are a lot of things that don't matter when you actually love somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about how it's going to be, how it's going to be when it happens.
So we're hoping to go and have like it at a church over here where my older sister got married mm-hmm. and like have one of my teachers from school who was a really amazing mentor marry us. And like we have each of us like several siblings who have kids, like 11 or 12 and under. And so we are hoping to get all of our families together and be able to have everybody really meet each other and spend some time together that week and like have pictures of us all together and like be able to really spend some time enjoying each other.
Yeah, getting to know each other, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I did with my wedding. I only had four, including my husband, and we had 14 of us. And it was just all of our immediate family. And it was just like a big family vacation. And we got, all got to know each other. And And so it's like thinking about that and thinking, why is the church important, right? Why is it important for, you know, who you marry, who marries you? Why are they important to you? Why is it important for your family to get together, right? Just focusing on all of that. And it's, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to be amazing.
On the things that are actually core values that it does work with.
And not something arbitrary like a date, right? It's like, this is what's going to happen when it happens, because it's happening.
That makes more sense, because like, I've always been somebody who like makes ideals out of things, and then I get myself all disappointed. But I think maybe I just haven't known how to formulate the ideal in a way that it would actually be realistic. That it was focusing on the most important aspects.
Yeah, like, I mean, those are the ideals to focus on. That's what's really ideal, is what's, you know, the connections and the, you know, all of this, the really, you know, neat things that are going to happen and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like the date is, doesn't even matter, because when it happens, all of this amazing stuff is going to happen. So I want you to do some journaling and some writing and just really, and some visualization, and just really focus on that part of it.
Okay. Cause I was wondering, cause I knew there were things that I could do more beneficially with my head, but I wasn't sure what to do with it, because like literally earlier I went and like burst into tears when some guy told me that it was going to be a wait to change my oil. Like, that is the way I've been this morning. Yeah. So like, yeah.
But you know, everything can be right on time. I mean, I love that thought. I mean, that's a thought that some of us have to practice, right? But like, what if you were supposed to get your oil changed right on time? It was right on time. And this wedding is right on time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, and I was trying to talk to my fiance about this morning. Like, I really do believe that, like, down somewhere deep, that if it didn't happen today, it was never actually God's plan for it to happen today. It was just my plan.
Yeah.
But I'm still a little spoiled and have a hard time giving up my plans, even when they aren't his. So,
well, and if you think about, I mean, you know, you can have all the plans you want, right? But, you know.
But they aren't going to happen unless they're backed up.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So keep reminding yourself of that. And, but also, you know, it's okay to be a little sad, right? It's okay to be a little disappointed today. There's nothing wrong with that either. It's just that you don't want to, you know, if you think about the model, you don't want to follow through with the model of, you know, having a result that you don't want, right? You want to have a model of just like, okay, I'm going to feel some disappointment and some sadness today. I'm just going to practice feeling. And that's okay.
But then go and do actions that are more consistent with hope and whatever, instead of the ones consistent with that.
Yes. Instead of buffering, right? Instead of not feeling, you know, instead of feeling, you know, doing things to cover up the feeling, your action line is just feel the feels.
Well, I've spent a good 20 years or so covering up feelings. So I'm really good at it, and it's really ingrained to do it. Mm-hmm. But seriously, I become like a puddle when I actually feel them. And like, I have a lot of self-judgment over that.
You criers are, I mean, it's like, I wish I cried more. There's nothing wrong with crying, right? That is a physical manifestation of you feeling your feelings, which is what we're all around here working on doing, right? We're working on feeling our feelings instead of covering them up. So it's like a win if you cry, because you know that you're feeling the emotion.
I'm trying to get back to that, because I know that for me, crying is like necessary therapy.
Yes. And you always feel better, right? It's kind of like after a workout, right? You always feel better after you cry. It's like that cathartic thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, when I was little,
I actually felt my feelings and I actually cried and was then really happy on the other side of it. Like, it depended on the time. And then, I gained the nickname in my family of wimp and crybaby as a result of it. So then, when my older sister died when I was 9, I didn't cry for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to, every time I have then, some stupid oil change little goof-up thing, then, all of the pain from the last 20 years decides to come out, and I'm just like...
Well, but I mean, you held it in for a long time, right? And so now it's time to, you're kind of, you got to get some extra cries in there just to get those tears out that you didn't get out for that other time. So it's totally normal, okay.
Just awkward to be in public. But hopefully it will eventually even itself out. Yes, now.
It will even out in the end.
Crying about real things.
Right. But now I just think the guy at the tire place, he doesn't care, right? He does not
care.
And we shouldn't care either that we're just, okay, this is just going to let it out here. And then I'll feel so much better. And then I just move on, right?
Yeah.
It's all okay.
Eventually.
Okay. Keep practicing. Keep working. Visualizing. Thinking about how it's going to be when it happens.
Okay.
All right. You take care. All right.
You too. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Let's look at the chat there for a second. All right. Virginia. And then we have Virginia. Anybody else wants to get coached? Raise your hand. We've got another hour. Just about halfway done. There she is. Oops, let me unmute you. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Doing all right. I have to say, I really like your glasses.
Oh, thank you. I got, they look similar. I got bifocals for my 44th birthday. Happy birthday to me. But whatever.
Nope. You're freezing up again.
Oh, shoot. Oh, now I get that. Okay. I got that message. Shoot, y'all. Okay. We're just going to keep going. Can you hear me?
Yep. I got you now.
Okay. We're just going to keep going. And then if we come out again, we'll come back in. So
okay.
I'm going to have to get my parents' internet upgraded. So, oops. Okay. All right. What's going on?
So today I kind of feel similar to the caller that was just on. So I'm going to meet the daughter that I put up for adoption 32 years ago, in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And this is something that in the past I've really, it's really been a place of a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and a lot of, bad self-judgment. And I'm been working on a lot of that, but I still am, finding myself in a place where, I have a lot of fear that I'm not going to be good enough. It kind of goes back to the worthy call earlier that she's going to find me lacking, that she's going to be angry with me, that she's going to, it's going to be all the things. Right. And I know that's not the case because we've been chatting on Messenger and talked on the phone a couple of times. And if she weren't interested in meeting me, then this, we wouldn't be talking already. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just kind of trying to find some strategies that I can use to try to get to be, and I've been listening to the podcast about, showing up for your son's wedding and all of those things where, people talk about, it's about how you show up for the day and it's how the person you want to be, when all this is happening. So I guess I'm doing the right things, but I guess I'm just looking for more outward support that I'm going the right direction and that this is going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, it's all going to be okay if you you know, if you just decide, it's going to be okay, right? I mean, right. And here's the thing, it's going to be okay even if she gets angry, right? It's going to be okay even if she cries or whatever it is, right? No matter what, you know, that's her stuff, right? That's her model. That's her, right. Those are her thoughts and feelings. But for you, I think it's a matter of coming up with some, you know, some thoughts that you can practice with this no matter what, right? No matter what, right. Whether, because, you know, you never know what might happen, right? With, you know, as you get to know her or whatever it is. And, but you know, get to decide how you show up no matter what. And so I think you're absolutely on the right track where you're working on how you want to show up when you see her and then afterwards. And then, but you also want to anticipate. You don't want to catastrophize, right? You don't want to worry. Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of falling into it. Cause I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do if this doesn't go right? Then I'm stuck in the circles of doom,
right.
About what's going to happen on the bad side. And I'm not thinking about, and I'm not sure how, I'm not even sure how I'm going to act if it comes out on the good side. Right. So,
but you're still thinking that there's a way for it to go well and a way for it to not go well.
Right.
Right. And that's not,
it just needs to go.
It just needs to go. Yeah. It just needs to go, however it is. And you get to show up no matter what. Right. And there's no way for it to go good or bad. You know, good or bad, those are your thoughts about, you know, it's your daughter, right? I'm meeting my daughter. And so what, you know, it's just going to go, maybe a really good thought for you.
Okay.
And, but what else? And, or maybe how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel, you know, at this meeting and afterwards and with all of this?
I really want to get, and I know I'm never going to get rid of the shame, right? It's the thoughts are always going to come about, you know, it shouldn't have ever happened. You shouldn't have been that way. You were a terrible person when you were younger. You know, all that stuff is always going to be there. I want to try really hard to that not be what I'm trying to battle when I'm trying to be in the moment with her. I want to show up as the person that wants to make a connection, a person that wants to, you know, that wants to give her, you know, what she's looking for as well. And I don't know if that's kind of a bad thought to have, you know.
You don't want to have any expectations, right? You don't want heard, you don't want to think that she has any expectations, and you don't want to have any expectations, right? Where it's like, it's just like, you know, like you, I mean, it's just going to go, right? It's just going to go. And have you done the rewriting your past? Any of that work?
I've tried. You know, Corinne talks about how painful that exercise is, and I, you know, in all the things. So I struggle. I'm working now on liking the person I am today. Mm-hmm. I struggle a lot with liking the person that I've been in the past. And I know that that's an area that I need to work. Mm-hmm. I just, every time I try to sit and do it and look at the list of things, it just really is, it's really a morass of nasty feelings.
And there's your sign, right? That's the work. And it's not a matter of forcing yourself to sit down and do the whole thing, you know, in one sitting or something like that. Right. But it's saying, okay, I love the, someone told me this, it's like just a teaspoon, right? Just a teaspoon of the pain or whatever it is at a time, but just keep going back to it and keep going back to it.
Because I've kind of always approached it as of trying to write a narrative of my entire past, and maybe that approach, breaking it up into today, I'm going to look at this particular thing that I think is so ugly, instead of trying to look at the whole thing.
Right, right. But also move into some, you know, so there's the rewriting your past. There's it's actually kind of a little lesson, and then a couple of worksheets in the, on the worksheets page on the website. I'll put the link up. But you know, part of it is about kind of telling your old story. But then I want you at, you know, at some point when you sit down and just give yourself, you know, 10, 15 minutes or whatever, I want you to do some work on the new story as well. Because if you are just only focusing on the old story and, you know, and the old pain and all of that, then yeah, you're not going to want to go back to it. Right. And so you're going to want to, you know, want to work on writing this new story too. And so you can write a little bit about the old story and say, okay, how do I want to, you know, to think about it today.
Okay.
You know, now that I can tell a new story, you can literally just write a few sentences and then look at those sentences and say, okay, that's the past. Now, how do I want to think about it today? Because, you know, everything that happened now is a circumstance, right? And the only thing that is happening now is, you know, is your thoughts about it. And you can absolutely change those, you know, like that. And just you know, come up with a whole new story. It can be that easy. But so you want to just do a little bit at a time. But when you know, when something is so painful, yeah, that, I mean, that's where you know that that's the work that you need to do. But yeah, you don't have to do it all the time.
I need to go back and address those things, because I really do just kind of just, you know, I'm not thinking about that right now, which is better than, you know, and better than is also a place where, you know, you need to do some work. It's better than where I was, where I used to just like sink into it and it was all encompassing sadness and, you know,
or totally avoid it altogether. Right.
Right.
And, like, cover it up.
My, you know, thing has always been, I can't be a good person today because of who I was in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think I've made a lot of progress there. It'll never be, you know, rainbows and unicorns, but I have my good bridging thoughts for, no, I am who I am today. Where I was brought me to today. But I do need to go back and break that up into smaller pieces. Yes. I think
that's okay. Right. It's like when we think about doing something like that, we just get so overwhelmed and our brain kind of goes into these like, right. Oh, but we've got to sit down and do it all at one time and all this. And it's like, no, if you kind of back away and say, let me just sit down and, you know, and set a timer for 5 minutes and just start doing a little bit. And then it'll be, you know, you may even want to go a little bit longer. Right. But it's just being, it's that compassion, you know, it's moving out of that shame and out of that beating yourself up place and just having some compassion for yourself and saying, okay, this work is really a gift to me. And so I'm going to give myself this gift for 5 minutes and see how it goes. And then I can either get up at that time and, you know, and be done for today, or I can keep going if I want to, but, you know, but I'm not going to make myself do it all at one time if I don't want to.
Okay. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
I think that works. And then I'll just work more on, thinking in terms of, you know, I'm going to meet her.
Yes.
And leave it at that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to meet her and what's going to happen.
Right. Right. Because you don't know, and you don't know what's going to happen with her, but it's just, okay, I'm going to meet her and, you know, and I'm going to love her no matter what, or I'm going to, you know, really incorporate, you know, how you want to feel, you know, just really focus on that. And yeah. And not on how it's going to go and what you're going to say to each other and things like that. It's just, I just want to feel love and compassion for her and yourself. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, come back if after you've done some of that work, or post it and ask coaches if you need some more okay. guidance on that. All right.
Thanks, Betsy.
Yeah. All right. Bye. Bye. Okay. We have somebody that's just a bunch of, it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. So I didn't have their name on it. So we'll see who it is. Oh, hello.
It's me.
Okay. Hi. What's your name?
I'm the gobbledygook.
Okay. Julie. Okay.
Sorry. Right. Obviously, I don't know quite what I'm doing.
Well, you got here, so that's all that counts. So
okay. I'm a little nervous. So I've been talking about trying to do a coaching call now for months, and I felt I had to have everything perfect. I had to have all my data, and I just don't.
You don't.
And I need help figuring out how to make this click, how to kind of get out of my own way.
Mm-hmm.
What
if it doesn't have to click?
I'm very good at having it not click.
Okay.
So
I'm just also not having any progress.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's like, what if it, you know, what if you're not looking for a click, but you're just looking for some progress, right? You're just looking for some wins. And that's what it is, really. I mean, it's for a lot of us, there's no, I mean, the light bulb or the click, it's kind of, it happens like you realize that it happened like 2 weeks ago, but it does, right. You know, it's like, it doesn't in the moment, you don't realize that's when the click happened, right? It's kind of delayed. And so for you, it's just a matter of, okay, how can I, you know, let me not worry about this click thing or this light bulb thing, but how can I just get some little wins going?
Right.
Because it's like little wins start to build momentum, start to build motivation. And that's kind of the process. So how can we get some little wins going?
Well, I keep wanting to have an April baby, but I've been listening for a year. I'm down 8 pounds in a year.
I'm up
and down. So, I'm up and down and up and down, but like, you know.
Okay. Now let's stop right there.
Yep.
8 pounds in a year is what? That's maybe, let's just say 2/3 of a pound a month or something like that. Right. What do you think about 8 pounds in a year?
I think it's really sad.
Okay. So that's issue number one, right? Because you lost 8 pounds.
But you know, it's not like if it had been consistently, if I had lost 2/3 of a pound at over the last, you know, year, then I could say, hey, I can see my little chart and it's going down, but it's literally up and down and up and down and up and down for a total of 12, you know, at like my highest weight loss was 12 pounds and then gained more back. So now it's down to 8. And that's the problem. It's like, I don't have any consistency, with anything.
I want you, but this is about what I was talking with Virginia about. Your past is that I lost 8 pounds, but I didn't do it the right way and I suck.
Right.
And I want you to rewrite your story about the last 8 pounds.
Okay.
And it can be as simple as, okay, I lost 8 pounds and that's awesome. I'm moving forward now with being more consistent. That's the next thing I'm working on. So 8 pounds, yay me, I'm moving forward.
Okay.
And so not going back through of, oh, it didn't happen. I mean, you know, it's basically you're saying you didn't do it right. You didn't do it, you know, and it's like, but it's 8 pounds. And so let's just celebrate that and move forward and focus on some consistency where you can lose even more in the next year, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. So how do you want to move forward? So what do you want to take from that and keep? And then what do you want to change?
I want to follow the four basics consistently. I mean, it's like, I believe 100% that the four basics are, you know, the key to all of this. And I've been good with doing my plan. I've been really good lately with the water. Sleep is okay. And then, you know, following the plan or eating 2 to 2 is not, not obviously great yet. So I just keep thinking, and obviously I guess it's incorrect, but that if I could just have 1 month of doing the four basics well, you know, to 80% or whatever, not 100%, but then I feel like then I could get into this rhythm and it could be kind of, I just keep coming up against life and life happens. And so it's like, okay, well then I have a slip up there and then it just, and I want to be able to just say, it's okay to have, you know, a slip up at this meal and just move forward. But I just fall into the fuck it's.
Yeah. So that's what you got to change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to think? Let's just get real specific. Let's drill down to, okay, the next time, let's say October 12th, for the next 30 days, you're going to go for 80%.
Okay.
So what's going to happen the first time something doesn't go as planned?
I record it, I do my recovery worksheet, and I move on to the next meal. I can talk the talk.
Okay. let's get real. Okay. And so you're going to, those are the actions, right? But let's back up on the model to the thoughts and feelings, because that's what we got to work on. You know what you need to do, but why haven't you been doing that in the past?
I think it feeds into every time I have a slip up or whatever, it feeds into the thought that I can't do this and that this isn't for me and that I'm going to be the, you know, maybe not the magical unicorn, but maybe the, you know, whatever, where it's just like, I'm going to be the one who this just doesn't work for, you know, even though it's like, you know, I see all of these people who do just amazing things on this. And I'm like, I should be able to, you know, be like the others who've lost, you know, 40 pounds since January or whatever. I just feel like it's yet one more example that I can't do it.
Okay. So that we're real clear on what's going on here. Right. Yeah. And that of course leads to fuck it's. And so this is an idea I have. So I want us to come up with a new thought that you can, here's the deal. You're going to hear all that old stuff at first, right? That your first, you know, maybe in a couple of days or whatever it is, you're going to go off your plan. You're going to overeat or whatever it is. What is it usually that you end up doing?
I mean, it's either an off plan. I'm not as concerned with the off plan eats because if they're kind of equal, you know, if I'm still eating 2 to 2 and I have an off plan eat because my kids ate all the rice and I had rice on my plan and, you know, whatever. I'm not as concerned about those as long as it's a 2 to 2. But the overeats, you know,
you go past your plus two.
Right.
Right. So yeah, the other thing doesn't even have to technically be an off, you know, you don't have to do a recovery worksheet if it's just a healthy substitution and you run out of rice or whatever. Right. But we're talking about, you go past your plus two. So is it usually at home or are you eating out or what's like a
specific? No, we eat at home a lot. Okay. You know, I have three little kids, so we just try not to leave the house much.
Okay. So it's just like a dinner or a dinner that you cooked and you just eat a few
extra. Yeah. I mean, my witching hours are kind of lunchtime when my two little kids come home from nursery school. And then lunch is a hard time for me to stick to my plus two. So I've tried different things where I change my location, and I find that, you know, that does help if I don't do the same thing. If I pick them up from nursery school and then we go and do something, it's just breaking the pattern helps. But that seems to be really that's my witching hour is the kind of the lunchtime.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's just say, because we can kind of talk about working on those overeats, but let me, you know, one of the, it's going to happen at some point, right? It's just going to happen. And so you've overeaten at lunch. And so so right now you're like, you know, I'll never figure this out. This isn't for me. I'm the unicorn, whatever. This is just not working for me. So what do you want to think instead at that moment?
I'd really just kind of like to kind of go, well, shouldn't have done that and move on. You know, I don't know, maybe I need to kind of, I probably need to sit with it more and figure out kind of why I did it.
What I'm going to have you do is write like a power thought up at the top of your recovery worksheet, you know, before you do the recovery worksheet, right? So instead of this doesn't work for me, here we go again. I knew, you know, this is proving that this doesn't work for me. It could be, this is working for me, because, you know, we're all going to have overeats, right? None of us are going to be perfect.
Right.
But this is working for me because I had the overeat, I'm doing the recovery worksheet and I'm moving on. So, you know, it could be this happened, move on.
Okay.
It could be this is my opportunity to learn, move on. Right. Fill out the worksheet, move on. Something like that. What do you think would work for you in that moment to write up at the top?
That's good. I like the opportunity to learn. I'm suddenly having visions of laminating the recovery worksheet and making a placemat for lunch. And I can just have it right there, ready to go. or just at least having it next to me. It's like I went and printed out 100 of them, put them in the binder so they're ready to go. And I could just probably just get it and have it next to me while I'm eating, just because, you know,
Don't want to plan to overeat though either. Right?
No. Yeah. But it's like, you know, in case I want to be able to kind of jump to it, I'd rather sit and do a recovery worksheet than continue eating.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah. I continue eating even more. Right. But yeah, so it's like, okay, I like to really work on work with y'all on turning around your thinking on the recovery worksheet, where it is not a punishment, right? It is not a thing to punish you for something you shouldn't have done, but it's a gift to you. It is an opportunity to learn from something that is just going to happen every once in a while, and it's totally okay, right? And so, yeah, so it's just come up with that power thought that you want to write up at the top. You could even write it up at the top and then copy that, you know, and have that up at the top every, or write it up at the top of all your copies ahead of time, right?
Okay.
So just to remind you, okay, this is why I'm doing this, that perfection, you know, is not realistic. Okay. It's not doable. And I'm not perfect and that's okay. You know, all these different thoughts. That you, whichever one is working for you. And then you fill out the recovery worksheet. And then that last question is about, am I willing to let go of judgment and move on?
Right.
And, you know, it's just, I think that's one of the most important questions on there, because, you know, it's just, and it's, I think it's good that it's the last question, because it's just like, okay, this is what I did. I learned from all of this. I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing it right. I'm doing this the way it's supposed to be done, and move on.
And what if I'm willing to let go of judgment, but not able to?
Well, I'm.
Can I pretend?
Yeah, you can fake it till you make it if you want to, right? I mean, and your thought can be like a bridge, like a ladder thought or a bridging thought. It can be, I'm working on believing that I can move on.
Okay.
Right. You know, because you don't want to say that you're not able to, because you're able to, if you, you know, with practice and with, you know, and so it's like, okay, I'm working on believing I can move on. Yeah. And then you prove that to yourself by moving on.
Right.
And so it's like your actions then help to prove your thought true, that you are able to move on.
Okay.
You know, so it's just a practice of doing that. And yeah, I think this is a kind of a good system for you to move into. So we're good about it.
Okay. Yeah. Have a little bit of hope.
Okay. Well, I did hear, I want you to do better than hope. Cause Corinne said, hope is not a strategy, right?
No,
you got a strategy. You got a strategy. You got willingness, right? I mean, you know, hope can come along for the ride too, but you want to have willingness.
Hope is always there. So
yes. And that's great. You know, it's not going to hurt you any, but you want to have a few other things that
you can't just rely on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a strategy. Okay. It's, you know, this willingness, this openness, this compassion for yourself, this curiosity about what you can learn. All of those feelings need to come along for the ride too. And But you've got a strategy now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So get going with it. I'm not even going to tell you to give it a try, because we're not about trying here. We're about doing.
Right.
And not doing it perfectly, but doing it and just keep going no matter what, not quitting. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Oops. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm not sure how to pronounce this name, so I'll ask when I get on. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I just asked you to start your video.
All right. Perfect.
Yes. There you are. Hi. How do you say your name?
Buhi.
Zabui, I love it. Okay. All right. What's going on?
I just joined in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been overweight throughout my life, and I don't think so I have anything shame related to it. Like, I accepted it always.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is overweight in my family. I was the happy kid. Everybody loved. So it never, nobody honestly disrespect me ever. Like, people just make like happy comments. And so it's not, like, somehow I get so comfortable around it. Mm-hmm. And, but I know, like, nobody say, I have like very good friends. I have very good circle for me. Like, but still I know I'm overweight and like I'm obese and it's not good for me. I have 4 kids. My son is 20 years old. He is in college. My daughter is 15 years old. She is in high school. And then 2 twins, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I do volunteer a lot. And I do, I'm active like throughout the things, but there's always, whenever something comes up, like family reunion, weddings, I always have this thing. Oh, the first thing comes to me in my mind is this anxiety of like, oh, I have to lose weight before. And I'm never happy to listen to anything. Like, I'm always like, oh, I'm not in perfect situation to go or attend or do things. And sometimes I avoid things. I don't know how to bring up that thing when I see people having this issue. Like, they have this issue, like problem, and they solve it. I don't know what is my problem to solve it. Like, how to make myself do, oh, this is the issues, that's why I'm overweight, let's deal with it. So, like, there's no, like, I want to start, and I start making this plan. I started a little late. I joined in September, but I started in October.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, And then I basically start making my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized a few things that, for me, kind of like I revolve around food. Like, for me, making family happy or having good time with kids and everything goes, if I'm excited, if I'm relaxed, I just go by food. Like, yesterday, it was such a nice weather here in Austin. I'm in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, let's make this and that. And I had my plan. I knew in my head that I'm doing something wrong, but how to stop myself? And I was like, it's only one time. The weather doesn't go that good here in Texas anyway. So I want to have like more control around my emotion when it comes toward food. Like, shouldn't be like everything shouldn't revolve. Like, if we are having movie time, like, I love family. I have a lot of friends. So it's always about food instead of people and having that moment making happens. And
I think for you, but I think I want you to change your language, because you were saying, I know I'm doing something wrong, right? And you're not doing anything wrong, right? You're just making a choice to eat. And so, but, and now maybe you want to make a different choice, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make it just a different choice, and that's okay. But you can't go, you don't want to go from I'm doing something wrong to wanting to do something right. It's just that because that's, you know, you're beating yourself up. You're not being very nice to yourself when you say that. And so it's just like, okay, I've been making this choice for a long time, right? I've chosen to eat. I've chosen to kind of have food be part of, you know, a lot of our activities and things like that. And now I want to do something different. And that's okay, right? And you want to, for you, I think it's going back to your compelling reason. So why did you join PNP?
I want to lose weight. I want to be healthier. Mm-hmm. And I want my kids to be proud of me.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I want you to kind of go back to that. You know, we have the compelling reason lesson in No BS, and I'm not sure if you're even there yet. But I'll post that in the notes, but it's all about your why, right? Why you want to lose weight. And I want you have a good start with it, right? You want to be healthy. You want to, your kids to feel proud and all of that kind of stuff. And I want you to really work on that. Journal a lot about that. Why do you want this? Because go ahead.
I did go by my why, and I realized I don't have a very strong why. when I, like, I know I have a strong why I need to lose weight. I don't have too much choice in that because my health and other reasons. But, you know, the moment when it's happening, I want to have something for me to, or like, and I realized one thing that I love this sentence, which says, like, we don't, like, whenever I see any of my diaries, I used to write, and any of my kids copy, and I'm doing homework with them, and I see I'm writing something for myself, it's always like, oh, I'm going to lose weight. This is my dieting plan or this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, before, like, when I was watching all those things, and I realized that I'm not going to make plan and break it anymore. So this is something I think Courtney said in one of those things, that we don't break plans anymore. And I love that sentence because I have been making these plans for like 30 years and I never honestly go with them. Mm-hmm. I have never lost a lot of weight. So it's always like I make plan, but I never implement it.
Mm-hmm.
Like go through with it. Just normally make it and then I move on with my regular life. So I have a lot of plans always, but I never do any of those things.
Mm-hmm. So why not?
I don't know. That's the thing. That's why I want, like...
Do you think that you have to be perfect at it and never make a mistake?
Or maybe it's just like I have in my mind, oh, it's a small thing. I will, like, this will never happen normally. So small thing. I'm not a very, honestly, big eater all the time, but I think I have very bad choices. I love sweets. So this is one of the major reasons, I think so.
But again, you're calling your choices bad, right? You're labeling them as bad when they're just choices, right? They're choices that don't get you the result that you want, right? Which is weight loss. But so it's not beating yourself up over your choices, right? That you're just making this choice and now maybe you want to make a different choice and get a different result.
And how to move my mindset from it's a small thing to no, these things matter kind of stuff. So like how to tell myself like I have like eaten so many times off plans and like I know it's a small dessert, but it's add up. So
mm-hmm.
it looks small, but these things matter. And then for that moment, I'd be like, oh, it's so yummy. It's so good. Let's have small piece and then I will make up for it tomorrow. And
you're right where you need to be, where you're totally aware of what's going on, right? You're totally aware of your excuses and your justifications to overeat. And it's just a matter of practicing the thought, no, this matters right now. This matters. This will add up over time. And you choose to sit with the discomfort instead. Right? I mean, do you experience a lot of discomfort right now? Have you practiced sitting with some discomfort?
Yes. Like yesterday, I did overeat because I made something for the kids. Like I ate off plan. I fried something and I thought, oh, that's not a good idea, but I still did it. Mm-hmm. And then for the dinner, I skipped my dinner because I was feeling guilty of having that. And honestly, I wasn't hungry either. So I was like, okay. And then I wanted a glass of milk and I was like, let me check if I'm supposed to take it or not. So but one thing, sometimes I skip dinner and then can I have milk instead, or it's called as an off plan, or it's called like something which I have.
You can put on your plan every day. Like, I mean, you know, you don't have to, if you're not hungry and mm-hmm. you don't want to eat dinner, then you just don't eat dinner. And that doesn't mean that you didn't follow your plan. It's just you weren't hungry and so you didn't eat it. But you can put it on there. And then if you don't want it, you don't have to have it. But then you could also plan some, you know, some milk or whatever and put that on the plan. And it will be on the plan. So you just want to kind of over plan so that you can allow for anything and just be sure and follow your hunger scale.
Okay, one thing, like I don't like to eat leftovers too much, like the things which I pre-cook. So normally I try to cook something for myself, something like fresh. So in that case, how to plan it? Because I don't know even like one day before that what I'm going to make next day. And the other thing is like, can I write like whatever I have in my fridge I can eat that will be counting as like mm-hmm.
options? You can always just put on your plan that you're just going to follow your hunger scale.
Okay.
And that you're going to, you know, you could even say like, okay, I'm just going to eat something at home to the hunger scale, you know, or to plus two. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to be any more specific than that if you don't want to, as long as you're going to follow it, right? Like, I'm out of town right now. I'm at my parents' house. I don't know what we're going to do, but I just, on my plan, I just put lunch to plus two, dinner to plus two.
Right.
Yeah. And I know, but I know, you know, the choices that I have, right? I'm going to make healthy choices. I'm going to make, you know, the food that I like, and then I'm going to eat it to plus two.
So I'm still eating my carbs and everything, because every time I try to, when I see my plan, I was like, how can I can lose weight with so much stuff in it? And then I was like, no, Connie always says, start with where you are. And I never it's always so many not that good choices in there. And I was like, no, if I make a lot of choices, then I might not be able to go through with it. But the thing is, then I always think like, if I stay with these choices, because she says start wherever you are, I'm very comfortable eating those things, because I was like, oh, I'm eating whatever I'm where I am.
So. Yeah. And that's why we want you to, we don't want it to be hard, right? We don't want it to be like a diet. We want you to eat what you like and just stop when you're satisfied. So you don't have to change very much, especially at first, to lose weight, as long as you just watch your hunger scale.
So for hunger scale, like, I think it's very hard for me to find like whether I'm hungry or not. Okay. Kind of. I do understand when I'm full. I think I have that feeling, but about like when I am hungry, that something is always like fishy. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm really hungry, but I don't know I'm really hungry at that time or not. Or I'm like, I'm seeing everybody eating, or it's time for me to eat. Mm. How to differentiate between those two feelings?
Well, it's time to eat is just a thought, right? That's not a fact, right? So you want to be aware, like, okay, I'm just thinking it's time to eat, but let me check in with my body, right? Let me really listen to my body. And so for you, I think it's a matter of just giving it time to, you know, practicing listening to your body. Do you know some of the physical symptoms of hunger for you? Like, when you get hungry, when you get to a negative two, what do you feel like in your body?
I think the headache, maybe, like, that might be maybe more hungry than I supposed to be.
Yeah. So. Yeah. If your head starts hurting, I mean, sometimes a little bit, I think if your head starts hurting, that's a little bit, that might be like negative three, negative four. But so for you, it just comes with practice, right? Like, you know, if you feel like your head's maybe about to start hurting, then maybe it's time to eat. But just keep listening to your body. Keep practicing, you know, okay, is there anything else that's going on? Do I feel like right now for me, I'm probably like at a negative one or something like that. I'm starting to just feel like a little emptiness in my stomach area. I'm starting to feel a little, I don't even know what this is, but, and so it's just, you've just got to kind of practice that. And just go back to, there's a hunger scale worksheet for the in OBS, and you can start kind of keeping track of what, you know, your symptoms are, your physical symptoms. But then you also start thinking about like, oh, maybe it might be time to eat here pretty soon. You know, your brain kind of starts to tell you a little bit about hunger. And then, so you just want to kind of be curious about that and just kind of keep track of that. Keep your data in terms of what symptoms you get physically, but also mentally with hunger.
So I'm a tea drinker. Mm-hmm. When I'm a little hungry, normally I drink a tea, but it has milk in it, no sugar.
Okay. So
that normally, that's why I never get too hungry, because yeah. I have my tea and I'm happy. So mm-hmm. How to deal with that? You want me to limit? I normally take two cups or maybe maximum three cups of tea, but those are the timing when I normally getting.
Well, I mean, it's just like, it's up to you, right? You could maybe cut back on the tea and see how you feel, right? Cut back on the tea for a few days and then just start listening to your body and see if maybe you get some different sensations. But if the tea is holding you for a while, then maybe we have some people who only eat like one meal a day, one or two meals a day. And so you may just be someone who doesn't need to eat you know, as many meals. So it's just, yeah, maybe just try cutting back on the tea and seeing what happens.
Okay. Other thing is like the moments when I really get excited or sad or tired, or like I notice when the phone calls come and I feel relaxed talking to my family or my friends, I grab something and I make my tea and I grab something, or sometimes I just have my tea and I talk, because that's like my time kind of thing. With four kids, you can imagine. So, yeah. In that situation, like I'm not honestly mindlessly eating sometimes. Yes. I even don't notice, because I'm my full, like I'm focusing what I'm saying, that I don't even realize that I'm eating. Right. So how handle that when you really don't know that you're eating?
So that is like, you recognize that, okay, you know, you're aware, right? You know, when the phone rings or when you about to, that you're going to want to go for the food. And so you just make a, you make a decision that, okay, when I talk to my family, no food. Mm-hmm. And it's just a, cause it's just a habit, right? It's just a habit that you've developed. And mm-hmm. so I want you to just say, okay, no food. And you talk to your family and your brain is going to go, wait a minute, we're supposed to be eating too. You know, this is what we always do. And you just don't eat and you hear what your brain says, and you're probably not going to be as focused on the conversation, right? Because you're going to be wanting to eat, but you just practice not eating. Right. And it's going to be a little uncomfortable at first, but it'll be really interesting to hear what your brain tells you. Right. Okay. And you're a writer, right? You're a journaler. I want you to, are you journaling a lot right now?
Yeah, I do journal. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm counting now.
Yeah. I want you to journal all this stuff, right? All the stuff about your hunger, all the stuff about your habits that you're working on. Just really document all this stuff, because you're really aware of what's going on. It's just a matter of you practicing all of this stuff, practicing doing something different, doing something new.
Mm-hmm. So one more, like yesterday, okay. When I was very excited, and even though I knew that I'm doing something wrong, but I made that choice.
Well, but it wasn't wrong, right? It wasn't, I want you to quit saying that you're doing something wrong, right? You're not doing something wrong. You're just making a choice.
Okay, so because I was off plan. So
yeah, it's off plan, but it's still not wrong, right? Okay. Off plan is just off plan. It was just a choice that you made to eat off plan, but it's not wrong, because that's a way of beating yourself up, right? That's a way of talking bad about yourself, mm-hmm. and we don't want to do that. We want to say, okay, we made a choice to eat off plan. Okay. We may not lose weight this week, but it's just a choice, right? And then maybe next time I want to make a different choice.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was saying. How to make myself to make a different choice? Like I have to do some worksheet around it, or do I need to see, like, because this is something I know that I get really excited and then I was like, okay, it's okay. I can like fix it tomorrow or things like that. And I go with the flow. So I just always like, if there be any day when I say, oh, I can still have good time, and like, how did the process make it easier for myself?
Mm-hmm. Are you doing that recovery worksheet? Are you doing a recovery worksheet every time?
No, this one I have to do still, because I was supposed to do in the morning, and then I saw your call, so I started listening to you, because that just happened yesterday. So
okay, so I want you to do the recovery worksheet every time you eat off plan or you overeat. Mm-hmm. That's where you learn about what you want to do next, right? What you want to do differently, because you talk about what you did and what you were thinking about, like all those excuses and justifications that you make. And then on the second half of the worksheet, you say, okay, what could I do differently next time? And so you really write about what you can do differently. And you're a writer already. So I want you to fill out that whole worksheet. But every time you do an overeat. So it's in the worksheets page, and it's the recovery worksheet. I'll post a link to it in this.
There was one sheet which says what you want to commit for yourself for next 60 days. And I wrote that I don't want to break plans anymore. So I wrote little generic in it, and then a couple of things which I really admired the content it was saying. But then I was thinking, should I write like I don't eat after 8, kind of like, should be I more specific what I want to do next 60 days, or it's more like what things which I think I will do, which like if I say I will not eat after 8, but then in case I didn't do my like if I don't do my dinner, I might eat something like maybe take some snack before sleeping. So it will be like eating after 8. So
yeah, so it's like it's okay with not being perfect at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like okay, most I'm gonna not eat after 8 o'clock, but mm-hmm. if I do, that's okay because I'm not perfect, right? I mean, you know, none mm-hmm. of us are perfect. So sometimes you may eat after 8 o'clock. So then you do a recovery worksheet and you figure out what you can learn from it.
All right. So I can still write some specific things and then yes. I should put down some optional statement under it that, okay, in that case, I might be able to eat and then that'd be fine still.
Yeah. Put everything down like, okay, I'm going to no eating after 8 o'clock unless I did, you know, I'm hungry, right? I'm truly physically hungry. And so be as specific as you want to on, I think are you talking about the protocol, like the 60 day or the.
The first sheet I got from the orientation, it was.
Or maybe the commitment, that commitment worksheet probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote this, we don't break plans anymore. We follow our plans and show up. We keep going no matter what, feel comfortable. I honestly like myself. Like, I don't have any shame issues. Yeah. But I know that this is the only issue. I'm so surprised. Like, you asked me, like, my friends call me for advice. I'm so good with so many things. But this is, when it comes to me with weight, I just can't, solve this issue, like how to, like.
I want you to quit saying that, right? Because you are solving it. You're working on it right now. But I think you still want to be perfect at it and you can't be perfect. You've got to be okay with making mistakes sometimes and it be okay, but just keep going, right?
So I shouldn't follow next 60 days. I say, okay, I believe in my, I will not unbelieve in myself or self-sabotage. Because sometimes when I do very good, somehow I go and grab something. Like I really self-sabotage myself. I really, I'm doing so good. And then I was like, I don't know why I do that, but I do that. Like I go and go off plan for some time intentionally, like not unintentionally. I do.
And that's where you want to do that recovery worksheet so that you can learn why, right? Because right now you don't know why, but uh-huh. you want to do that worksheet and then you can figure out why you're doing it.
Okay. And right? If I don't come up with something really like cool, why still just do my recovery sheet? And because I've been trying to find out why I've been doing that. And it seems like very unintentional. I just do it. Like
you just do it. Something. You may just think, okay, I just want this right now. Mm-hmm. I just want it. And that may be your only reason, but you want to, you know, to record that, right? You want to keep all of that data so that you can go back and say, okay, so I just keep doing stuff just because I want to in the moment. Mm-hmm. So how am I going to work on that, right? What am I going to do differently next time? I'm going to say, I want it, but I'm not going to have it right now because okay. I want to lose weight more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, but you got to just keep doing those worksheets and becoming aware of all your thoughts that are leading you to overeat.
Okay. Thank you. One more concept you were saying about ladder. And what was that about? Like having a ladder for your thoughts.
Okay. So that's probably the future self ladder. Probably mm-hmm. that's in module 3 okay. of No BS. And it's the future self. Module, and there's a worksheet in there where you write a letter to yourself from your future self. And okay. so you write a letter, so you can go in there and look at that worksheet, but it's all about focusing on your future self, how you want to be in the future, you know, mm-hmm. after you've lost your weight. So
okay.
yeah.
So right now for me, I focus on writing everything down, my recovery, yes. make a plan. If it goes off plan a little bit, I will write down why is the reason. I can make it easier for myself by just writing that whatever options I have, I will go +2 and -2.
Yes.
Okay. I really am like so emotional because I have never talked about that issue to anyone.
I am so glad you got on here. This people are saying how good this is, you know, this is helping them so much because you had so many good questions. And I'm just so glad I took the time to, you know, to just answer all your questions, because I think you have, you know, a lot of our new members have a lot of these same questions. So
thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care. All right. Yeah. Bye. All right. Valerie. Let's see. Okay. Valerie might probably be our last person. Valerie, did you mean to raise your hand this time?
Sorry, no.
Okay. You're cracking me up. All right, see ya.
Sorry, I'm just running around and then I'm...
Okay, you're just pressing buttons. All right, bye.
Sorry, bye.
She did that a couple weeks ago. Okay, there's a question on here, and then we'll probably wrap it up. Let's see. In the journal, the powerful question I want to answer today is, do I identify the question? Do I answer the question? What exactly is the purpose of this prompt? What a great question, Lenora. Okay, so let me just click over here to NoBS and see where it is in the program. It's called Right Question, Right Answer is the lesson. About the powerful question is there is a little bit of confusion. And actually, I think I'm going to make a note of this, because when we're working on the newest version of NoBS, we want it to just be real, real clear to y'all that right question, right answer, that is the same thing as the powerful question of the day. That's the same thing as the, you know, when we ask you what question do you want to ask yourself today in the planner. So it is... in Goodbye to Fat Girl Thinking in Module 4 of NoBS, Right Questions, Right Answers. I will post a link to that lesson as well. So let me look back at the question and see exactly what it was. So how do you identify the question? If you have our planner, if you ordered our planner, there is a list of questions at the beginning of the planner that suggested questions, which are amazing. So you don't even have to go beyond that list if you don't want to. If you ever want any ideas about questions that other people ask themselves, then you could just ask in the Facebook group. So yes, so you write out the question and then you ask yourself that question. And the way the question of the day works, the powerful question of the day, is that you ask yourself a question and then your brain goes to work on answering it all day. And so what I like to do is write it in my planner and then I write it on my phone, or I put it in my phone, like on a alarmed app or some sort of reminder app. There's an app called ThinkUp that Corinne uses a lot, where you can actually record things in your own voice and then it will come up throughout the day and remind you. You know, whatever, you can do affirmations, you can do thoughts that you want to keep practicing, or you can do your powerful question and you can record it there. And then throughout the day, it will remind you what your question is so that your brain can keep working on it. And so an example of a powerful question is, how can I feel accomplished at the end of the day today? Like when my head hits the pillow, how can I feel accomplished? And so your brain goes to work on, okay, how can we feel accomplished? What else can we do to feel accomplished today? So how can I fill in the blank, however you want to feel. Another great question, a really simple question, is what am I thinking today? And so that just gets your brain working on listening to your thoughts, right? Being the watcher of your thoughts. And so there's just all kinds of different questions. How can I make weight loss easy today? Oh my God, that's one of my favorites. How can I make weight loss easy today? So your brain goes working on that. So that's the purpose of the question of the day. All right, Yvonne, we got 5 minutes, so just got right enough time for you. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
So it's a September baby, and I feel like I did pretty good last month in September. I lost 3.8, which was almost to my goal for the month. Mm-hmm. And then I hit Wonderland and I gained weight this week.
Okay. So what's going on?
A lot of just thoughts, I'm sure, in my head. Packing, we just moved apartments, so I was packing, and I was doing good because I was moving, so I wasn't, like, snacking a lot, which was really helpful. And then we finally got moved in. Moving was a 2.5-day process, and we ate out, I think, every meal because I planned on my plan, but I wasn't thinking that I had to impact all my dishes to be able to make food. So we ate out a lot. But I feel like I do this a lot. I'll get close to my goal, and then something in my brain says, oh no, you're doing too good and stuff. And I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that self-sabotage, right? Where we think, you know, oh, this couldn't possibly be working. This couldn't possibly be this easy. You know, no way this is, you know, how could this really be happening? It's totally normal, right? It's, you know, and when you hit like a milestone like that, when you hit Wonderland, right, it can happen, you know, it can happen even more, or it just, you know, can be even more of a stronger belief. But it's just a matter of proving your brain wrong, where it's like, okay, you know, I hear you, brain, saying that we're not going to do this, you know, we're not going to be able to do this, because you probably have a lot of past evidence for that, right? Where you've gotten down to a certain number, and so it's just a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong, brain. I'm going to keep doing these four basics that are, you know, that are doable and that are easy. And for you, you had the moving, you know, in there, which is just a circumstance. But you probably had a thought in there about how, well, I can't, you know, I can't follow these four basics while I'm moving. You know, this is too hard or whatever it is. When, anytime, even if you're not eating at home or whatever, you can always follow your hunger scale. Right.
Yeah, very true. And I realized I wasn't. I was, ooh, this is really good. I normally cook at home. So, oh my gosh, this is a treat. And let me eat everything on my plate. And
like you're never going to get it again, right? Like you never have it again. And so it's not a matter of, you know, it's just a matter of being aware. Okay. This is what I was thinking. I was thinking I'm moving, you know, I maybe deserve this for whatever, cause I'm working so hard, cause I'm, you know, whatever it is, right. It's really journaling about what your thoughts were around that and saying, okay, this is what was going on. And I'm ready to do something different. That was a big power thought for me, you know, when I was losing, like, I'm just going to do something different this time. And even though I'm moving, even though, you know, we're eating out, I'm going to do something different. I can still follow the hunger scale. I can still order a salad if I want. I can still, you know, make a little bit better choice. I can still level up just a little bit. All that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. I was so proud of myself because since starting with the podcast, I've lost 15 pounds, 16 pounds, something like that. So I was really proud. I'm diabetic, so my blood sugar numbers are like almost in range. I could see all the proof that this is working. Yes. And then, like I said, that thought popped in my head. Oh my gosh, someone's going to notice soon and you're going to do something to screw up. And I think the moving was just my excuse of wanting to eat something.
Right. And so. it's recognizing that, hey, what if all of it was supposed to happen this way? Right. What if I was supposed to get to 199, right? And like, I was supposed to hear all these thoughts, and then we were supposed to move. And then I was just supposed to do all of this so that I could learn that, oh, okay. When things happen, I'm going to have thoughts that are going to, you know, want me to, you know, go off my plan and to overeat and all these kind of things. And it's up to me to do something different. Right. And just to decide, okay, no, this is not an, you know, excuse to overeat. And so, but it's a matter of not, you know, not focusing on the past. Right. And just moving forward from here, not beating yourself up.
Okay. I made a plan today and I'm kept to it so far. So I'm like, okay, I just need I only had a 26% success on following my plan last month, but most of my switches were kind of equal, but I put them as an off plan because it wasn't what I had written down. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to make it realistic. I have a thing with chips and I have chips in the house and I'm trying to sit there uncomfortable with them because I love chips. I love the way they taste. Tortilla chips, potato chips, it doesn't matter to me. Chips are all good to me. And those were the things I was snacking on. And those are things I've not been allowing myself to have because I know when I taste them, I really like the taste and I want to eat more. So I bought a box of chips for my son and I have them sitting in the pantry and I put them on a plan yesterday. So I would have one bag. And then I realized after I ate them, I was grabbing other things because now I have this taste for something. So I did what I think it was Corinne who said to put your stuff on a plate, the stuff that you were going to eat. I put it on a plate and I let it sit there all day long. And so everything I went to go grab, I ate two Cheez-Its and I put two Cheez-Its on there. I went to grab granola and I put it on the plate because I knew I didn't need it. I put grapes in my mouth and I grabbed a handful, put those on the plate. And I was like, that was kind of a lot of food. That was like more than a snack. So just my thoughts are just all random right now. Sorry.
No, but that was such a good learning experience for you, right?
It was. It was. I didn't realize how much I was grabbing and it wasn't even like a full day of grabbing because once I realized I could see it on the plate, I kind of stopped grabbing. So I can imagine if I didn't do that, how much more I would have grabbed
throughout the day. Right. And that was like a great learning experience for you where it's like you were able to become aware and visualize, you know, all these little grab asses add up to all this stuff on this plate, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're just getting honest with yourself, getting into awareness. So that was such a beneficial exercise for you to do.
It was.
Yeah. So. So you're doing all the things because, I mean, you're just, you know, you're just learning, gaining awareness. Be sure you're doing your recovery worksheets.
I just did one for the first time 2 weeks ago. And since then, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing because it makes me think of things that I would have never thought about.
Yes, yes. And you learned so much from this experience with moving and all of that and getting into Wonderland. And so it's just a matter of taking all of what you learned and not beating yourself up, right, and just moving forward with it and just being okay with continuing to not be perfect and to just continue to learn. Keep moving.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're doing great. See you later.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Bye. All right, y'all. Well, let's see. Okay. One more question, then we'll get out of here. Let's see. In the PNP planner, when do you fill out the journal section? Good question. So you can either fill out the journal section. And so that's the section like with the big blue box, I think, and then the models, you can fill that out or even just that whole page. I like to fill out the top part in the morning like the night before, you know, to prepare for the day because it says something like plan your day or something like that. Excuse me. And so for sure, I like to fill out that part before the day starts. And then sometimes I will go ahead and do some journaling and some models right then. Right. Or you can, and to kind of set yourself up for the day, right? Where it's like, okay, this is how I want my day to go. And I write about that and I do a model. And it's sometimes I only just do an intentional model in that case, because it's just, okay, this is my intention for the day. This is the, you know, result I want to get out of today. And so you may not have an unintentional model. You just may have an intentional model. Or you can wait until the end of the day and write about your day. And then do like an unintentional and an intentional, or it may just be an intentional. So there's no rule around always having an unintentional because you absolutely want to record and become aware of just thoughts and feelings and actions that are working for you, that are getting you the results that you want. So it's just kind of, okay, if you've got something to write about in the morning and you really want to set up your day, but you may be able to set up your day pretty well with just that top section. And then you can write about your day at the end of the day. So either one is good. So just up to you. All right, guys. Well, this is it. And we will get this up in the next little while. And then I will be back tomorrow at noon Central Time to do coaching for Corinne. So this will be by appointment only tomorrow. So I will be coaching some folks on there as well. So I'll see y'all then. And then Corinne will be back on Monday evening at 6 p.m. Central to talk about next week is Hunger Scale Challenge Week. Oh my gosh, one of my favorite weeks. So if you're in the Facebook group, be watching for the daily post about the Hunger Scale Challenge. And then she'll be talking about, it'll kind of be a Q&A, I think, on the Hunger Scale. So if y'all have any questions about the Hunger Scale, come to that Zoom on Monday evening at 6. And then we've got coaching at noon, I believe, on Wednesday, as usual. Let's see. Today's the 12th. Nope, never mind. Oh, that's right, because we're going to be in San Diego. I forgot. Okay, so we've got the open coaching. Okay, about the Hunger Scale tomorrow. Monday evening at 6 p.m. And then Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. is Kathy's office hours. So she'll be back on at 6 p.m. And then the rest of the weekend, we will be in San Diego. We'll definitely be checking in with y'all, but we're going to be doing a little bit of getting our learn on too. So during that time. So, all right, guys, I will see you all back here tomorrow if you want to come on and watch. All right. Take care. Bye.